Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, I'm coming to you live with lots of love and just a little southern flavor from rainy Atlanta, Georgia. So how are you doing today? I just want to thank all of you so much for joining me from all over the world now, it seems. And, well, wherever you are, I pray that you are creating for yourself an abundant and purposeful day. Well, how has your week been? I'm doing really great. I've just had a great week full of surprises. You know, I love surprises. And they really shouldn't be surprises to me because I've really been believing and expecting. I guess what is a surprise to me is the way in which they have materialized. So I'm very, very grateful. So I have a couple of questions for my listeners. Let me ask you. Have you been taking some of the principles that you've been hearing on my show and beginning to implement them in your life? And are you taking small baby steps toward change? Those are the two questions that I wanted to ask you this evening. So speaking of baby steps, I want to read a letter from one of my listeners in London. And she sent me an email, and it was very interesting, and I wanted to share this with you, and I want to see if you can identify with it. It says, "Dear Constance, thank you so much for your show. I stumbled across your show one day as I was browsing the web. Of course, you know, I don't believe that it was a coincidence at all. I believe that it was spiritually ordained. Of course, when your show is aired live in the U.S., it is early in the morning in London, and I always download it as soon as I get up the next day. I like it that you talk about taking baby steps toward change and spending time with the truth that is shared on your show so that it becomes a part of us. That suggestion makes it a lot overwhelming for me. This is what I'm doing in my daily deliberate action. On purpose, I choose to think, feel, and visualize certain things in my mind and spirit, and things are changing. You are fantastic. Host, blessings to you." And I just wanted to share that with you. So if you're listening every week, just remember to take small baby steps toward change. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, let me share with you who some of my upcoming guests will be for the remainder of August. Can you believe it's almost September? Next week, August 23rd, back by popular demand, Antonio Thornton will be with us next week. If you missed him the first time around, you don't want to miss him again. Antonio has just this unique, extraordinary gift to explain the law of attraction in a way that's just remarkable. He's very analytical, and he just sort of breaks it down. So he's going to be talking to us about his new life law attraction experiment of how to attract a $150,000 BMW. Doesn't that sound interesting? I can't wait to hear that. So that's next Sunday, Antonio Thornton. And then on August the 30th, we have a great guest. Many of you know her, Lisa Nichols, who was featured on the acclaimed movie The Secret, and she is the author of No Matter What. So she will be with me on August 30th. And I just believe in paying it forward, and I just want to share something that's going on with one of my former guests, Dr. Sherry Buffington. And Sherry is the author of The Law of Abundance. And this week, Sherry is offering a free seminar, The Science of Creating Abundance, on August the 18th. And so I want you to go to www.thelawofabundance.com. That's thelawofabundance.com. And just sign up for it. It's free. It'll be a free teleseminar, and you'll really be blessed from it. Well, let me get started with my very special guest today. I'm so excited to have with me Harry W. Carpenter. Harry is the author of The Genie Within, Your Subconscious Mind, How It Works and How to Use It. And he's been studying and teaching about the subconscious mind for over 60 years. Isn't that remarkable? He's read every book he could find on the course, but it was only until he was in his 30s that he was able to really put together some really great information. He taught his first class 40 years ago. And so obviously he is a man of wisdom and great insight on the power of your subconscious mind. And I'm just so glad to have him with me today. So Harry Carpenter, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Constance. Glad to be here. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, good. Well, share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and the book and just a little bit about who you are personally, and then we'll get started.
Okay. Well, actually, professionally, I was an aerospace engineer. But my avocation has been, as you mentioned, for 60 years, to learn everything I could about the subconscious mind. And as you said, I put it together, and we were so, my wife and I thought that it was so wonderful what it has done for us that our friends insisted that I teach them. And so I put together a course 40 years ago, and then taught for 2 years in the San Fernando Valley. And then I gave it up to pursue my profession and raise 4 children. But when I retired 16 years ago, I updated it, and I've been teaching it since.
Oh, well, that's why I said you're a man of wisdom, and you obviously have great insight. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be talking about the genie within your subconscious mind, how it works, and how to use it. And so my first question to you, Harry, is what is the subconscious mind?
What is it? Well, as one scientist said, the mind is the last frontier of science. So the experts are just beginning to understand it because it's only been in the last, 20 years that they've had tests that are non-invasive and they can study what's going on in the subconscious mind. So I don't think I can answer that specifically, but I can tell you in layman's terms how it works and how we use it.
Okay, share with us how it works and how we use it.
Well, how it works is, where do I begin? How it works is more important, actually, than learning how to use it. Now, because once you learn how it works, how to use it becomes very simple.
Okay.
The methods of using it are very simple. But when you learn how it works, that's more important. You were about to say.
So how does it work?
Well, for one thing, one of the important things is, and let me give some background in this. In the 1970s, early 1970s, Elmer and Elise Green wanted to study men who could control their involuntary functions. Now, up until that time, it was Western science and medical profession said that controlling your involuntary functions was impossible. Yet there were men in Tibet and men in India that could control pain. They could control their metabolism by being buried for 6 days and conserving oxygen. They could control body temperature. They could make one hand 10 degrees hotter and the other hand 10 degrees colder. They could control their heart rate. And, of course, this was contrary to Western thinking. So they studied everything they could about these men, and they found one dramatic difference. And that is when these men could do these feats, they went into an altered state of mind.
Oh, okay. So in order to really work the subconscious mind effectively, we have to be in an altered state of mind. I think I remember reading in your book that 92% of what we experience is in our subconscious mind and 8% is in our conscious mind. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, the subconscious mind is actually 11 times bigger, and that's where the emotions arise from, and the emotions are the power. So the subconscious mind can really be the bully, which brings up another law of the subconscious mind, which is when the will and the imagination are in conflict, imagination always wins. Or translated, when the conscious mind and the subconscious mind are in conflict, the subconscious mind always wins.
So give me an example of that. I know you said that if a person wanted to go on a diet, and it, in their subconscious mind, if they really did not believe that they could really go on the diet, that they would not, because the subconscious minds always win.
Right. If you can will yourself to do something, but as I said, the power is in the subconscious mind. So you really don't have willpower unless the conscious mind and the subconscious mind are in agreement. Now, in the case of a diet, if you have a program in your subconscious mind that says, I'm going to eat and eat and overeat for gratification and fill in the blank, whatever, that program will be dominant. And so you can will yourself to go on a diet, and it may work for a short time, but eventually that program, that strong program in the subconscious mind, will win.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about the subconscious mind and the law of attraction. How do those two work together, or do they work together?
Very much so. I would say, in the law of attraction, as I understand it, is what you think about constantly is what you bring into realization, right?
Right.
Now, I would make one suggestion on that, and that is, if you're thinking about it all the time, you're thinking about it in the conscious state. And if you want to use your subconscious mind, if you want to use the 92%, the creativity, the emotional power, then you should be thinking of it in the altered state. The altered state is the doorway to the subconscious mind. Now we can explain what the altered states are.
Okay, I want you to explain what those. So what you're saying, Harry, is that the subconscious mind rules, and I see that you said as much as 95% of our behavior and decisions stem from our subconscious mind. And so in order for that to work effectively, we have to put emotion and feeling behind those decisions and behaviors. And in order to do that, in order to change behavior, we need to get in altered states. That sounds kind of scary and spooky. Explain the four states of the mind and how do we get into that, and how does that relate to the subconscious mind?
Okay. First of all, it's not really scary because we go into the altered states in and out all day long. We just are not aware of it.
Okay.
So there's basically four states. The state we're in right now, at least I hope we're in, is the awake state. And that's when we are aware of everything that's going on around us, which was necessary for survival. And if we were hooked up to an electrocephalograph and were monitoring our brain waves, they'd be in a frequency range of 14 cycles per second on up. And it would look very erratic. Now, if you just close your eyes and just relax.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Oh, good. And now you kind of drop into a daydreamy state. We call that the meditative state. That's the alpha state. The alpha state, if your brain waves would be between about 9 and 13, or an average of 10. And if you relax a little bit more and get a little bit more drowsy, you go into the theta state, which is between 3 cycles, 4 cycles per second, and 7 cycles per second. Now, the thing about, well, let me come back to that. And then if you go a little bit deeper, you fall asleep. That's the delta state. Now, the important thing about alpha and theta is that it does, your conscious mind operates in the present, the past, and the future. But in the alpha state and the theta state, it's only in the now.
Okay. That's, and I see that you said the alpha and the theta state is the meditative state.
Right. And the theta state, very interesting, is what I call the aha state. That's where we see, all of a sudden, have an insight in something and see things globally. There's many instances in the literature about scientists or songwriters that have this goal on their mind, and they're just not getting any place because they're thinking about it consciously in the conscious mind. And then they go walk on the beach or sit in a hot tub, relax, drop into theta, and voila, it hits them all at once.
That is so amazing. So if people want to change or influence their subconscious, they have to be in either the alpha or the theta state, which is in the now.
Right. And there's a very, I think, a very interesting visual is a symbol of that. If you think of the awake state as an incandescent light bulb, which is very, very inefficiently a use of energy, and it sends light out all over the place, even where you don't need it. And it's as much, I think it's 85% of it goes up in heat. Now, contrary to that, if you take a laser, the light rays are synchronized and they're focused and they're concentrated and they can burn through steel. So focused attention, focused concentration in the alpha and the theta state, much, much more powerful.
And so if a person wanted to bring about change, they would just need to put themselves in that state and just begin to impress on the subconscious what they wanted. For example, if a person wanted more money, more wealth coming into their lives, what should they do, Harry?
Yes, they would go into the, in fact, getting back to the law of attraction, one thing is it think about what you want all the time. I would suggest that you don't do that, because if you're thinking about it during the day, you might be thinking, you probably are thinking of it in the conscious state. Now, your conscious mind is the critical mind. It's the logical mind. Your subconscious is illogical and accepts things. It doesn't know the difference between real and unreal. So if you're thinking of your goal, let's say you're a man and you're looking for a relationship, and you want to attract a beautiful woman who loves you and you live happily ever after, and you think of this consciously, your conscious mind, being the critical mind, might come back and say, oh yeah, fat chance you have of attracting this beautiful girl. Yeah, wait till your friends hear about this. This is going to be a good one. Now, that's going to work against you. I would suggest that when you think about your goal, if you just take a few seconds to drop into the alpha or the theta state, now it's focused attention, and there is no critical faculty in the subconscious mind.
So how long does a person have to be in those states, Harry? Is it like 15 minutes a day, or what would you suggest for a beginner?
You know, I don't think there is an answer to that, because we're all different.
Okay.
And but if you're the law of attraction, if you're thinking of something, drop down, and if it's only for 10 seconds, fine. If you have a break and you have 10 minutes, drop down into the alpha or theta state and daydream about your goal, and do it, of course, in the now.
Okay. Share some examples with our listeners about the power of the subconscious mind and some people who've used it. I know you talked about Roger Bannister and mothers lifting cards off of their children. Share with some of our listeners about some examples of the great power of the subconscious mind.
Well, first of all, you mentioned Roger Bannister. You know, our conscious mind limits us. One researcher's child psychology estimated that a child, by the time they're two, has been told that no, they can't do that something like 150,000 times. So our conscious mind limits us. But, for example, Roger Bannister, once he broke the 4-minute mile, which experts said was not possible, the human body couldn't do it, other runners did it within, I think it was 3 months. And now, of course, if you don't break the 4-minute mile in a major race, you're not a good runner. It was a mental barrier. There was another good story is Alexei Oliva, I think I'm pronouncing that right, I don't have it in front of me, was a Russian weightlifter, and he could not break the barrier of 500 pounds in competition. He could lift 495 pounds, so you'd think another 5 pounds wouldn't do anything. So his coaches pulled a trick on him, and they put the extra 5 pounds on in practice. He lifted the 500, not knowing it, but once he was told he would lift it, could lift it, he did. So that's one case. The most fascinating case is a multiple personality disorders, where you have a person with the same body but changing personalities, and they change IQ. One can have a mole, one doesn't have a mole. One has an allergy, and one, the other doesn't. Now, these are just concepts the subconscious mind accepts as true, and they become true.
Amazing. So the conscious mind is limited and linear, but the subconscious mind is global, creative, emotional, motivation, energy.
Right. Yes, and I think we've all witnessed hypnotists, right? Stage hypnotists, And I can recall one we saw here locally at the Del Mar Fair that had a young man and said, I don't know what his name was, say it was Bill. He said, Bill, you have just returned from a foreign planet where you've spent some time. Would you please tell us about it? And he began relating about his trip. Now, I would wager, I don't know Bill, but I would wager if his subconscious mind was not in the forefront, it was he was in the conscious mind and his critical mind and 500 people in front of him, he probably couldn't think of a thing. But being drawing from the subconscious, he was very creative.
And so we can really hypnotize ourselves with expectation and with emotion and feeling in any area that we desire, Harry, in order to bring about change in our own lives.
Yes, yes. We can use the subconscious mind to do many things. I know it's used in medicine. A very interesting story of Dr. Easdale, who was a Scottish surgeon in India in the mid-1800s. You can look him up, or you can Google him. It's very interesting. But this is at a time when there was no anesthesia. And the survival rate was something like, for major surgery, was something like 5%. Or excuse me, was it 50? Was 5%. He had a survival rate of 50% because he would hypnotize the patients, and I'm only assuming what he did. He reduced the fear and the anxiety. Fear and anxiety, this is another subject, the mind and the body connection, but fear and anxiety affect the immune system. So if you have fear and anxiety, your immune system is not kicked in, you're more susceptible to infections. Also, he eliminated pain, which is another thing that affects the immune system. So that's why his survival rate was many, many times more than the average surgeon.
Well, that's so powerful. You mentioned the mind-body connection. Can you give us some examples of this on health? You know, healthcare is just a big issue now. So how can a person use their subconscious mind in order to change their health?
Let me relate another experiment, a very interesting one, conducted by Dr. Ellen Langer of, I believe she was a doctor at Harvard. She obtained 100 volunteers in the Boston area who were over 70 years old. She tested them physically and psychologically, and then she took them to a resort off in the mountain someplace where they were isolated. She had them dress like they did 40 years ago. She had Life magazines from 40 years previously, newspapers, radio programs from 40 years ago. She told them to act like they were 40 years younger. And at the end of, I believe it was 10 days or 2 weeks, she tested them. And in her words, every one of them tested younger in every test they did.
Now, that is amazing. So your subconscious mind is really the fountain of youth.
Yes, it can be. I know there's a test going around now that people are realizing that we are all not the same age as our chronological age. And so I think people are becoming aware of this.
And you also talk about what your subconscious mind can do for you. It can program you for success and change undesirable habits, make you more creative. So how can a person change an undesirable habit, or how can it program a person for success?
Well, I think all successful people, whether they know it or not, rely more on their subconscious mind than the average person, because that's where the creativity is and the motivation, the emotion. I kind of got lost in that.
Oh, that's fine. So anybody, any successful person can, you believe, is already using their subconscious mind in order to bring more success into their lives.
Yes. And if you want to program yourself for success or for changing habits, well, which is very interesting, the subconscious mind has an infallible memory. It's all there. It's your recall that's fallible. And so when you have an undesirable habit, it's there for good. You're not going to get rid of it. You can't undo the neurological patterns. What you do is that you overpower it with a positive habit, or the opposite, or the, what you want your subconscious mind to hold. Your subconscious mind can only hold one concept as binding on a particular subject. So you just override the old habit, and to do that, if you did it with your conscious mind, it might you probably won't be successful. You have to use the doorway to the subconscious mind, which is doing it with the laser-like alpha or theta states of mind.
Well, you know, Harry, a lot of people are utilizing the law of attraction, and many people are finding that it's not working. And one of the purposes of my show is to bring on experts like yourself to share with our listeners. And I believe what you just shared is that people have core beliefs, what they truly believe, and until you actually, like you said, override that and change that, then those laws will not work for you as effectively.
That's exactly right. And if you... when your subconscious mind and the conscious mind have different concepts, they're what we call double-minded, and the subconscious mind wins. And that law, incidentally, was developed by Emil Kuei. I'm sure. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Very interesting guy. Very successful in Europe, but he came over here, and I guess they tossed him out because people in those days were from Missouri. They didn't believe that sort of thing. I didn't mean to cast a think of anything on Missouri. It's just that the old
Well, that's very interesting. Talk a little bit about the power of expectation, and what role does that play with your subconscious mind?
The very interesting subcategory of expectation is placebos, which I'm sure everybody is aware of. Whenever a new drug comes out, it's compared to a placebo. A placebo is a pill or whatever it is that looks like the real one, and people are tested against it. Now, the interesting thing is that the placebo is always no less than 33% effective as the real drug. And it's depending on how the placebo is delivered, it can be as much, according to a doctor who wrote a book on it, as much as 80-85% effective if you expect to be cured. Even in a study at UCLA, some patients were told they were going to be given a medicine, and already they started getting better with the expectation of getting this new business, this new medicine.
So that's powerful. So expectation, and what about imagination? How powerful and how important is that in really changing your subconscious?
Oh, imagination is very powerful. And, of course, now we're talking like the using visualization to attain a goal. Very, very powerful, very effective. One important law of the characteristic of the subconscious is that it's like a computer, and your computer does not know the real from imagined. So if you imagine yourself doing something correctly, you're developing the neurological pattern to do that thing correctly. Some very interesting studies have been done on that. For example, take Americans who are not used to throwing darts. One study, they just practiced throwing darts. Another group was lectured on how to throw darts. Another group imagined themselves throwing darts correctly and hitting the target. And the ones who did the imagining did the best. And so that's why athletes today go through imagination before and during their event. There is a book, The Ultimate Athlete. It quotes many athletes, like Arnold Palmer says, "I never hit a golf ball without imagining a perfect swing and exactly where that ball is going." Very powerful.
Very interesting. And so our listeners, they could take that same concept of imagination if they want to get a better job or bring love into their life and use the same principles to bring into their lives whatever they desire, because the subconscious mind, whatever you truly feel and believe, the subconscious mind takes that to be truth. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So yes. You mentioned in your book, once you really get into the alpha state, you need to give the job to your genie. What does that mean?
That means that to not think about it with the conscious mind. Again, the conscious mind is the critical mind. It's logical, and it's important. We have to rely on our conscious mind, but if we have a goal, like I said, imagining a man, picturing of this beautiful woman as his lifetime partner, if he thinks about it in the conscious mind, the conscious mind is going to say, yeah, look at your track record, fat chance you have. You want to only think about that goal when you're in the alpha or theta state. And it's not that you go into alpha and theta in and out daily. It's just that you don't know it. If you daydream, you're in the alpha state. If you've ever stood in line and got bored and you stare at the wall, you're in the alpha state.
I did that yesterday, Harry. So I was in that state and did not know it. I was standing in a long line, and I found myself just sort of in another world almost, actually.
You know, another one of the best hypnotists there is, Constance, is your TV set. Studies have shown that within 30 seconds you go into alpha watching TV. Doesn't matter what kind of a program you're watching.
I did not know that. Well, I want you to share a little bit about repetition. How important is that in changing your subconscious?
Well, as I said before, your subconscious mind accepts one concept to be true on a particular subject. And think of it as a balance that either goes one way or the other way. It doesn't measure 1 gram, 2 gram. It just goes. So if you've been inundated with negative program and you have a poor self-image, that side of the balance is way down. Now, if this has been going on for 20 years, it's going to be difficult to change that overnight, right?
Right.
So what you want to do is, again, go into that focused concentration state of the subconscious mind and inundate it with positive affirmations until one day it overpowers the negative and your balance will flip-flop. So, yeah, if you want to countermand 20 years of negative program, you have to use repetition. The more the better. And, of course, do it in present time. Not, I'm going to be better or I will be better. I am better now.
I am. In the present and in the now. You talk about a method for changing your subconscious is to turn on your joy center. What does that mean? Expound on that for our listeners.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't originate with me. That was a Dr. Sanders who's in Sedona, Arizona. But I did make one innovation to it. And that is, there is a joy center in our mind, and it was found with a doctor doing surgery without the patient being under anesthesia. And these were severely depressed patients, suicidal. And he touched this one point in their brain, and they would go into bliss. So he put wires to this area in the brain, and the wires came out of their head. And when they were severely depressed, they'd press a button and activate the wires, and they would go into this state of bliss. Well, of course, this didn't go over too well, and the wires would come loose. And, of course, the drug companies got a hold of this, and now we have Prozac and all these things. Which,
That is so interesting. You're so smart, Harry. How do you know all of those things? It's just so interesting, because one of the things that the law of attraction says is that put yourself in a state of gratitude and love and joyfulness, and that your manifestations come quicker in your life.
Right. So, yeah, getting back to this one more step. And so this area is right in the center of your head, and just you go into the theta or the alpha state and activate that area, and you can condition yourself to do this. And so when you're in a bad mood, you just go down into the alpha theta state and strum that little area in your brain, and a smile, I guarantee you, a smile will appear on your face.
That is so amazing. So do you go into those states on a daily basis yourself purposely?
Yes, anytime I want to think of an affirmation or relax. That's another thing we skipped over, is a benefit of the subconscious, learning how to use the subconscious mind. Many people never really relax completely, right? You know, people who wake up in the morning and they're still tired?
Right.
There are inner muscles that are controlled by the subconscious mind. And you need to learn to relax those, to relax completely. And a benefit of relaxing completely is better recall, better health, just feeling better, happier. And I guarantee your sleep will be better, too.
And so basically what we're saying to our listeners is that if you want to really change your subconscious mind, you need to get into the two alpha states, and you need to utilize visualization, expectation, joy, emotion, senses, etc., and then your subconscious mind will change, and once that changes, whatever happens in your life will change. Is that what we're saying, Harry?
That's exactly what we're saying, and emotion is so important that when you visualize, remember, everything is in the present state. If you're dieting, you visualize yourself as you want to be, and your subconscious mind is a goal-seeking computer. So you want to make sure that you are giving it the goals, not television. Remember, they use every method that I relate in the book. Television used the commercial ads, use all the tricks. So you want to visualize yourself as you want yourself to be in the present time and doing it in the alpha state, right?
Well, I want you to share a little bit about prayer in the subconscious. I thought that was so interesting. Share with our listeners about prayer, the power of prayer and the subconscious, and how I think you said that some scientists have found out that it was scientific. I'm certainly a Christian and believe in prayer, but for those who don't and may not believe in God, share with our listeners your chapter that you wrote on prayer.
Dr. Dossey, Larry Dossey, lecturer, medical doctor, and writer of many good books. In fact, I think he has three on prayer. And he began by doing a search of the scientific literature, and he found 123 articles or studies, and over half of them, by scientific methods, showed that prayer worked. The one thing that is missing, though, is how to. And my conjecture is that as above, so below, or as below, so above.
Right.
If a law is a law, it's a law on earth and it's a law on the moon, right?
Right.
So if we take what you learn in my book, the laws of the subconscious mind, and translate them into prayer, that is the how-to. And so it's simply going to a higher level of mind. And I wrote the book. There is nothing religious in the book. In fact, I make a statement that even the section on prayer, which is a sequel chapter, is not religious. And anyone who doesn't believe that there is this higher level of mind, I'd like to give them some circumstantial evidence to think about. May I do that?
You can.
Okay. Remote viewing was financed by the CIA. The study was done at Stanford Research Institute, and there's a book. The two main researchers wrote a book. Somebody can sit in Moscow, and somebody can sit in Los Angeles. One can imagine a picture, and the person on the other side of the world can pick that up. Now, that has been verified. And, of course, Edgar Cayce, Google Edgar Cayce, very fascinating man. He went into a trance twice a day, and he would go into other people's bodies and diagnose what was wrong with that person. And over half of the 20,000 cases were verified. The other half couldn't be because either the person died or his reading was on history and not health. But 10,000 cases were verified. And Carolyn Mice, you're probably familiar with her books. She is a current author and lecturer. She claims 95% accuracy as verified by current doctors. And if it turns out that I believe anybody can do this, it's not that amazing. In fact, as those of are familiar with the Silva International course, or used to be called show, the mind control, the graduating lecture is on this, and all the students do it. I did it, and I was about, of course, I could really, at that time, I was conditioned to go into deep alpha, deep theta.
Right.
I was 85% accurate. Now,
and so a law is something that will work for anybody who will work it, so anybody can take the information that you're sharing and use it in any area of their life.
Right. Another example of this, what I call the Uninet, it's like the Internet, only it's cosmic. Everything is in this Uninet. Dowsing, people who douse. There are methods I talk about in the book of using the pendulum and muscle response testing. All of these things have been confirmed. And the big one, which is in quantum physics, called, Einstein called it spooky happenings at a distance. As when one object like an atom has been related to another and they're separated and one is changed in the electrical spin or something, the other responds immediately, faster than the speed of light. So there is something at some level of mind larger than the subconscious mind. And that's what I'm saying. We tap into that Uninet, and you don't have to believe in God, because a law of gravity is the law on Earth and as it is on the moon. And it works. You just tap into this higher level of mind and use the same methods that you learn in the body of the genie within.
Well, we have about 5 minutes, and you have so much information here, I'm going to have you back. So for our listeners who may be really going through a very difficult time, you share some great information. What could you share with somebody who may be really going through a difficult time? In summary, what can you share with people?
Well, I would say that when you learn how your subconscious mind works, you will change your thinking. That was the biggest part in our lives, is we just changed the way we thought, and our lives changed with that. And, of course, it doesn't always happen overnight. I won't rule that out. But you learn to change your thinking and change your life. And there, you can do almost anything. I would not rule anything out health-wise. Of course, I wouldn't imagine myself as making the Olympic basketball team or winning Wimbledon at tennis. Those are unlikely goals. So I would only frustrate myself.
Right.
And you mentioned something before the interview, a little bit at a time. If you're not feeling well and you're programming yourself to, we all know that there are cancer patients have been cured overnight, right?
Right.
This is documented. Now, I could not believe that I could cure myself overnight. I'm sorry, I just don't have that kind of faith. But I could believe little bit at a time. I am better tomorrow. I am better, and my body is responding better. You know, little bits at a time. All in the now, of course.
And so your subconscious mind, your subconscious mind has to believe what you're saying. For example, I'm getting better and better every day, or that money will come to me from unexpected places. Money is coming to me from unexpected places. Your subconscious mind will have to truly believe that for that to manifest.
Yes. And one thing, I believe I heard you say, I will be better.
You will be better
is the same tomorrow and the next day as it is today. In the present tense, I am better.
I am better. Thank you for that. So when you're in those states, it's always in the present tense. So
yes.
What kind of affirmations can you share with people that they can use, Harry, to begin to change their subconscious?
Oh, goodness, there's such a thing as a one-word affirmation. And
I like that.
Yes, and a word has two meanings. It has a precise meaning to the conscious mind, like mother means female parent. That defines it completely. But when you say mother, it brings up all kinds of emotions, which are different with everybody. So if you have something that you want to change, let's say you have a pain in your shoulder, or go to my website, I actually tell about a situation that happened to me. I had a pain in the neck, and I used the word gone. Every time I felt the pain, I said gone.
One word.
It became rote after a while. I completely forgot about it. My conscious mind was not interfering, and within 2 weeks, all of a sudden, I was aware that the pain was gone. And that was after a year of pain.
Wow. Amazing. So a person can use one-word affirmations like wealthy or abundant or prosperous or loved.
Yes. Or you come into work and you have piles of work on your desk that you do not want to say, oh, gosh, I'll never finish this. You say done. Picture it done. Or the big one, you're watching television. Remember, you're watching television, you're hypnotized.
Right.
And the announcer says, the next time you have a cold. Oh, isn't that an insidious thing to plant in someone's subconscious mind?
It is.
Visualize cancel. Big sign, multicolors, flashing on and off. Cancel.
Well, you just have a wealth of information, and it comes through that you've been studying for 60 years. And I'm just so grateful that you really decided to be on my show. I looked you up on the web, and when I read your information, I said, now this is a person that I want to share with our listeners, because he really has a wealth of knowledge and insight. And Harry, I want you to share with our listeners your website, how they can get your book, how they can contact you, etc.
My website is thegeniewithin.net. And my email is thegeniewithin@roadrunner.com. That's thegeniewithin@roadrunner.com. And you can go to my website or Amazon or any other bookstore, but you go to my website, you can order the book, The Genie Within, and I have three CDs. One is a training CD, which is seven routines that teach you to condition yourself to go into alpha or theta at will. In other words, all I do is say, take a deep breath and go 3, 2, 1, alpha, and I'm in alpha because I'm conditioned to do that. So the CD is very valuable. Another CD is a metronome. A metronome is one way of it putting you into alpha or theta. And so if you're doing an affirmation or you want to think about your goal, play the metronome in the background so to be sure you go into that state. And the other CD is a short version of a health affirmation that is in the book. So those are what are available on my website.
So are you currently conducting or teaching any classes, Harry?
Right at this minute, no. I have decided I would spend my energy on something like this, where I can reach more people.
Right.
And I would also, I'm thinking of writing a second book.
Well, you should, because you have so much information, and I've just learned so much from reading your book, and you're very clear and concise, and you have all the scientific data to really support your information, and it has really helped me, and I know that our listeners really feel empowered by your sharing today. Do you have any last-minute comments that you would like to share with our listeners, Harry?
Well, you mentioned the book. The book is a manual. It's not a series of inspirational stories. It's strictly a how-to, and it's everything you need to use the subconscious mind. So I would just like to iterate that you need to go into the alpha state or the theta state, and that you have to become single-minded. The best way to learn how to do that is read my book.
It is, and I'm going to highly recommend that all of you all go to his website and really just order his book. I think I've read this book about 3 times, and each time I get so much more information, and I realize how much I've learned just from reading it, and I've already begun to implement some of the practices that Harry suggested. So, Harry Carpenter, I really appreciate you being my guest, and I'm going to have you to come back and share with us again.
My pleasure, and be happy to come back.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Constance.
Well, wasn't that just great, Harry Carpenter? He is the author of The Genie Within, Your Subconscious Mind, How It Works, and How to Use It. And really, this is a great compliment to the Law of Attraction. And it really helped me to manifest things a lot quicker this week by utilizing some of the information that Harry shared. So I'm just going to really encourage you to go ahead and do that. And I thank you so much for joining me. I do want to share with some of you that you all know that I am a Law of Attraction Success Coach, and I've had so many requests for it. I have 25 years as a licensed therapist, and I'm not a novice, and I have a proven track record of really helping to take people from where they are to where they want to be using the Law of Attraction. So are you ready for change? Are you ready to deal with your limiting beliefs and change your subconscious? Do you feel stuck, and do you need an experienced coach to help you learn the Law of Attraction? Then I'm the person for you. And in some of my sessions, I'm a little different since I am a licensed therapist. I really believe in dealing with your own stuff first, which is my counseling portion. And then I will help you to identify and change your limiting beliefs, which is your subconscious. We'll talk to you about and identify how you have been sabotaging your own manifestations. We're going to become very clear about what you want, and then we're going to develop a strategy for your dreams, deliberately create, and then customize tools for manifestations for specific areas in your life. So if you're ready for change and you're willing to do the work, you can contact me today for a 30-minute complimentary consultation at 404-402-7769, or you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, I just want to thank you for joining me today. Remember, tell your friends and family about the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Tell them about the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. We are on every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So tune in. And just in case you're really busy and you really missed the show, you can always download those programs and listen to them again and again. As a matter of fact, after I get offline here and get off the show, I will probably listen to the program that I recorded today probably 4 or 5 times so that it can really get in my subconscious, so that it can really get in my spirit. I'm also going to encourage you to remember to take small baby steps, just like Harry Carpenter said, to begin to change believable affirmations, believable words, one words that you can begin to really speak to your subconscious mind or your spirit that can really begin that process of change. Well, this is Constance Arnold coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, and I just want to say that really if you change your thinking and if you change your believing, I'm a living witness that you will experience miracles and miraculous manifestations. See you again this same time next week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.